Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome. Want to pay a special moment and just make sure that all of our friends online are welcome. So, High Ridge Church, would you give our online friends and audience a good welcome from all over? Welcome, guys. We're glad you could join us. So cool. And let me just say, before we get started and before we go any farther, I want to just say I'm so proud to be pastoring a church that loves this city. Yesterday was an amazing day in the life of our church. We had 170 volunteers from four different churches reach out and actually do the literal laundry of our city. You should have seen the faces of people that were coming in and watching churches work together and serve. And they said, "Which church are you from?" I said, "We're not from any one church." Like, are you kidding me? Churches working together to meet the needs of the city? Yes. And it's not a holiday? No. This is for you. You know, that is not possible without your generosity, your tithes, your offerings, your willingness to be used by God. It's an honor to be part of a church that is a generous church. I love you. I love your generosity. I love your faithfulness. I love your support. Thank you so much for financially supporting this ministry. It matters in our city. Let me just share one quick story, because there were so many amazing things that happened. There was at our White Oak location, a guy showed up and he asked Troy Black, one of our guys that was there. He says, "How long are you guys going to be here? Because y'all are doing free laundry." He said, "Yes." "How long are you going to be here?" And Troy says, "Well, I'll stay a little bit longer if you need me to." And he comes back later and he has a whole truck bed full of clothes. And he's like, "This is not too much." No. So they just grabbed the clothes. They began to take care of it. This is Troy right here. He was able to talk to this guy. But the guy says, "Our washer's been broken down. We have six kids. We haven't been able to do laundry except in the bathtub." And we took their laundry. These guys were so amazing. They made him feel loved. And just, we took care of it. We paid for it. That's your generosity at work. This is how we love our city. That's the hands and feet of Jesus. How amazing is that? Thank you for all of you that supported that. As a matter of fact, if you were part of Love Longview yesterday, would you guys stand and let us just applaud you and tell you how much we love your service? Yes, all over this place. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you so much for serving. Grab your Bibles. Let's get into John chapter 10. We're going to continue on along with our series called I Am. He is. We're looking at Jesus through fresh eyes, having a fresh perspective. I always want to be that person that doesn't just allow my own filters and the way that I see Jesus to cloud who Jesus really is. And so over and over through the book of John, Jesus seven times introduces himself by a new name. And it shows us a little bit about his personality and about his character and about his power. And I want to make sure that we don't miss anything that Jesus is saying. That's my heart and my hope for you this morning, is that you would see Jesus as he is. Not just who you expect him to be, but who he really is saying he is in his own words. So let me just tell you, I've been nerding out and geeking out on all the different words Jesus uses to kind of express himself. And it showed up to me yesterday. I was thinking about all the times that I see an imitation word. And so you might recognize this, the Dr. Pepper can. I brought this up here today to show you the Texas drink of choice. Where's my Dr. Pepper fans at? Waco, Texas, Dr. Pepper, because we like our soft drinks educated, baby. Educated in Texas. Dr. Pepper is the real deal. You may call it soda. Don't call it Coke. It is not Coke. It's a step above, right? But you know that there are 45 imitations of Dr. Pepper? 45. From Dr. Thunder that you'll see at Walmart or generic version, to things like Mr. Pibb, which should just say Mr. Lie. Mister, it's doctor, come on. So there's 45 different knockoffs of Dr. Pepper. It's not the real thing. It's not the real word. And so when Jesus introduces himself in a new way, he uses a very, very specific word that did not mean what I thought it meant. He uses the word good. He says, "I am the good shepherd." Now we see that word all around Longview. Good Shepherd is everywhere. It's part of our hospital and our healthcare systems. Some of you may actually work for Good Shepherd. And because we see it so much, it's easy for us to take that word for granted and not really understand what it means. To you, it may be in a hospital. It may mean a source of employment. It may be a place where you had a bad experience or you lost a loved one. But Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd. So let's look at that word with fresh eyes and fresh perspective, because when Jesus uses the word good, he doesn't use the word that I think he should use. As a matter of fact, when we see the word good in Scripture, Jesus specifically strays away from the normal word that we would use for the word good. He uses not the word agathos. Agathos just means good. It's where we get the name Agatha. Not many people name their daughters Agatha anymore, but it was a big deal for a long time because it meant good. That's a good friend. That's an agathos friend. That's a good burger. That's a good drink. It's a good thing. Jesus doesn't use the word agathos, which we would normally think he would use in this scripture. No, he goes and takes it one step farther. He uses the word kalos in the Greek, which means handsome, which means beautiful, which means obvious top choice, obviously a better choice. It's something that's not just good, but the better word would be gooder. For those of you that went to LSU, it's gooder. Whatever, they win every single Saturday, but they lose in modern day English. No, he says, I'm the obvious top choice. It's easy for me to see when I use this word versus the next word that Jesus is very specifically using certain terms to describe himself and not using the normal words. He's saying, I'm the obvious better choice that anyone can see. So when he applies this word to the shepherd, he said, I'm not just a shepherd, I am a good shepherd. I'm a better choice. I'm a lovely choice. I'm obviously, plainly seen as the better choice. You guys are fake Dr. Pepper. I'm the real Dr. Pepper, he's saying. And if you're looking at the packaging, don't be misled. Read the words. It's got to say doctor, not mister. And so as Jesus is using this word, it gives us a new glimpse of who he is. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the history of what's happening in this moment, Jesus has just healed a blind man. And it happened on which day? The Sabbath. Of course, the Pharisees that are around him, the modern shepherds or the teachers of the day, are super angry at Jesus because he healed somebody on the wrong day. And he says, you know what? It's crazy that you're getting mad at a blind man that was set free on the Sabbath because you're the one that's blind. I'm obviously the better choice. I'm the better leader. I'm the better shepherd than you. There's a reason why people aren't following you, because you're fake news. You're fake Dr. Pepper. You're the Dr. Thunder. I'm the Dr. Pepper. I'm the good shepherd. So in John chapter 10, let's look along, starting with verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. You can download a great Bible app, follow along, or we'll put the scripture up here on the screen for you to see. But he says this, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I want to come back to that word life in just a moment. So you might want to underline that, because he doesn't use the same word for life that I would use for life. He uses a different one there. I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, the hired hand, this means you Pharisees, is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. And Jesus repeats himself, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep also, and by the way, this is important because he's talking about you, that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and thank God he did. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. And then look at this. Once again, as he explained himself, now four times, eight different ways, the Jews were once again divided. What do you think he means by that? It's no wonder, by the way, that Jesus, every time he's talking to the disciples and they say, hey, what do you mean? He says, are you so dull? Do you not see it? I'm obviously trying to tell you. You just don't want to see something. I don't want to be that kind of person that Jesus is trying to explain something to me, but I have these blinders on. These filters of the way that I see him. He's explaining to me in a very, very particular and special, profound way that I want to be able to see it. I want to understand. I always want to be a learner. I want to be able to be relevant and to be able to speak the language. My son came to me this week and he says, hey, do you know what this word means? You know what that word means? He's kind of testing me on my young hip knowledge. And I fell miserably, by the way. But he says, Dad, what does, you know, when you're looking at a Snapchat or when you're looking at Instagram, what does HMU mean? I'm like, I think it means hit me up, right? Hit me up. He said, yeah, it actually does. You know, I saw a pass. I got one. Hit me up. That means like, hey, talk to me or give me a ring. We wouldn't say ring anymore. Give me a call. Or no, we wouldn't even say call. Shoot me a text, right? Don't call me. Don't ever call me, right? No one ever calls anyone anymore. Shoot me a text. Hit me up. But there's another word that I didn't know what it meant. He said, what does scoop mean? Scoop. Scoop. And so I didn't know what that meant, but I'm willing to learn, right? He said, that means pick me up. It means I don't have a ride. I'm grounded from my car. Or scoop me up. Pick me up. Take me wherever we're going. Come by. Somebody come by and pick me up. And then he says, what about this one? What does WTM mean? I'm like, hey, I don't know, but that sounds dirty, you know? No, it's what's the move? So now, by the way, you've gotten your cultural vocabulary lesson today. What's the move? Which simply means, where's the party at? Where are we going to later on? So anybody that's asking that is looking to have a good time. What's the move? It's on Sunday right here at church. That's where the move is. It's the move of the Holy Spirit, player. You better get you some. But I want to learn. I want to understand what you're talking about. I want to be teachable. I want to learn. And when God presents these words to me, like the word good, and I look in the original language of what he's actually saying, I get a new revelation of what he means. And even better, what he is. He's the good shepherd. Not just any shepherd. He's the good one. And then notice this. He says, I lay down my life for these sheep. When Jesus says the word life, normally in the Greek language, that would be the word zoe. And we see that word a lot associated with church circles. This is a life church or a zoe church. People use that word a lot, but Jesus doesn't use that word. He instead goes one step farther. He says, I lay down my psuche, which is where we get the word my psyche. This means I lay down my soul. Not just my body. I lay down my soul. Your soul being your mind, your will, your emotions. There's a reason why before Jesus was crucified, Matthew writes and John writes as well. In John 17, Jesus says, my soul is vexed within me, or it's distraught to the point of death. As he's praying about the sheep and he knows what's about to happen on the cross, Jesus says, my soul is vexed. It's distraught. I'm having a hard time just controlling myself. I'm sweating great drops of blood. Why? Because he's laying down his soul for his sheep. It's much more than just his body. And I'm thankful that he laid down and sacrificed his body. But he said, no. I didn't just lay down the zoe. I laid down the psuche. I lay down my life, and I have the authority to do it. I can lay down my will, my emotions. And this is why he has such a problem with the Pharisee shepherds. He says, I'm obviously a better choice because you don't care about them like I care about them. They're incredible to me. I love them. I'm emotionally invested in the health of my sheep. And you're here for yourself. You're just a hired hand. You're not willing to lay down your life for them. I'm obviously a better choice. You guys are fake Dr. Pepper. I'm the real deal. And then he says, that's the reason why people aren't following you anymore. Because you don't care about them. You don't love them the way that I love them. This is good news for us today because he's saying, I'm not just a shepherd. I'm a good one. And I lay down my life for you. It takes on new meaning when you understand the words that Jesus is using. He's saying, I'm a good shepherd. I'm a good choice. I'm obviously a better choice. And so Jesus is using this word in the context of leadership and saying, you're leading my people the wrong way. You're leading them after yourselves. You don't care about them. You care about you. I'm the good shepherd. So if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down if you would. Three things to know about good shepherds. And number one is good shepherds are protectors. They protect. They protect the flock. They're emotionally invested. They care. They literally care. You serve a Jesus today that cares about you. He's my protector. I wrote this down. What you really love, you'll fight to keep. For fathers and mothers, if you really love your children, you will fight to make sure that no one takes them. You'll fight. You're not just like, oh, you know what? Take this one. You may have thought about it, but you wouldn't literally do that. Why? Because you love them. Hopefully. If you really love them, you're going to fight to keep them. You're going to have to pry this kid out of my cold, dead hands. It ain't happening. Why? I love them. What you really love, you'll fight to keep. And this is important, by the way, for shepherds because you're basically driving a Middle Eastern food truck across the desert when it comes to all the predators that are looking at the beautiful delicacies that are laid out before you. Oh, the shepherd better be a protector or we're in trouble. Sheep have no natural camouflage. They're not like a deer that you can't see them until the last possible moment because they blend into their surroundings. They're white. Sheep don't have fangs. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have hooves that can destroy someone. They don't have any natural defenses. They're not naturally aggressive. That's a problem. You know, so many times we as sheep think that I'm a better provider and protector over myself and over my own family than Jesus is. How foolish is that? How foolish is that? He's the protector. Sheep have no defense except for the leadership of their shepherd. If he runs, they're left to die. The wolves come and they try to scatter. They try to isolate. They try to push one sheep out by himself so that they can have a lamb chop. So that tells us very clearly that here's God's protection plan. It comes in two folds. Number one, you have to stay close to the shepherd. Stay close. And number two, there's only strength in numbers. That's the reason why the more that you get attacked, the more that you need to be in church, the more that you need to be in a group, the more that you need to be in his word, the more you need to be in his presence. You've got to stay close to the shepherd. There's strength that comes when we gather together with the sheep. You don't want to be left out on your own. We serve a good shepherd that needs and wants and loves to protect his sheep. I wrote this down. Isolation always comes before destruction. Isn't that true? Haven't you seen that happen? I wrote down something else that I thought you may bear witness with. It's the best trick of the enemy is to get you isolated and make you think it's a good idea. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The last person you need to be taking advice from when you're walking through a difficult issue is you. You don't give good advice when you're messed up. And when you isolate yourself, you're an easy target for the enemy. Thank God we have a good shepherd that's saying, get your tail in here. Get in church. Get in a group. Get close to me. Get in your word. Why? There's protection there. There's life there. Number two, good shepherds are leaders. They will lead you. Why is this important for me? Because I have a tendency, just like sheep, to wander off. I have a tendency to wander. Some of you may have remembered, if you've grown up in church, at some point you've seen a church would put up a picture of Jesus. He's the guy as the shepherd, and they would always show a picture of him carrying a sheep around his neck. Do you remember that old picture? Carrying a sheep around his neck, and it says the good shepherd underneath it. And it just shows us a picture of, you know, he's willing to care for the sheep, and he puts them around his neck. And it's like, oh, he's got a great sheep around his neck. Well, you don't understand. The only reason why a shepherd would carry a sheep around his neck is because they have a tendency to wander off. And as a matter of fact, the more that a sheep would be known to wander, if it became part of their nature that they're always wandering off, the shepherd out of love for the sheep would break his legs. Break his legs and then put him around his neck saying, you're going to learn to stay close to me. You're going to learn my voice. You're going to learn my smell. You're going to learn that the only protection that you have is with me. That bears witness with me because I've been that sheep. I've been that sheep. And if you could look at a spiritual x-ray of my life and several of the lives around you, you see there's a lot of broken legs. And thank God for them. Because those are the times where God says, no, you're not. You belong to me. And whether you like it or not, come on, get in here. I'm going to have to wrap you around my neck to get you to understand you have to trust me. It's for your own protection. It's for your own good. I love you, and I'm willing to break you to do it. Thank you, Lord. I need that because I'm just as stubborn as everybody else in this room. But in that moment, Jesus is saying, I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Shepherds are natural leaders. Thank you, Lord, for that. Isaiah says this in verse 6 of chapter 53. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who is him? Him is the good shepherd. That's saying you have this tendency to wander every single person, but instead of breaking your legs, Jesus says, break me instead. I'm going to take the iniquity of the sheep. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What an amazing concept that this good shepherd would be willing to take the punishment for my wandering. That's a good shepherd. That's someone willing to lay down their suke, their life for the sheep. I've had moments in my life, just like many other people in this room, where I'm walking after the Lord. Things are going really, really well. I'm having quiet time, and then squirrel. Hey, that looks cool. Let me chase after this for a while. You been there? Can we just be honest in God's house for just a moment? Hey, you know what? That's nice. Toys. Oh, money. Oh, miniskirt. Oh. Is that a thing? Is that still a thing? I don't know. It wasn't my day. Oh, look at that. Nice. I like that. And God's like, no. What are you doing? Get over here. Let me break your legs? No, sir. Mm-mm. I'm tired of limping. I'd rather just stay close to the shepherd, amen? I'll just get close to Jesus. Why? Because it's a lot less pain. It's a lot less pain if I just do it his way. So the good shepherd is my protector, number one. Number two, he's my leader. And number three, good shepherds are providers. He is their source for everything. Somebody say everything. Everything from food to water. Psalm 23 says, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. He restores my soul. Why? Everything that I need, the shepherd provides for me. This is why Jesus himself in Matthew 19 says, it's really, really hard. Truly, I say, it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, why? Because you've gotten to this place where you're so blessed that you can just write a check for whatever you need. And thank God that he blesses. Thank God that he provides. Thank God that he gives you an abundance. But there's a reason why God blesses, and that's so you can become a blessing to somebody else. There's a reason why he gives you more, so you can be trusted with more. But when we get to this place where we believe that we're self-reliant and I don't need Jesus anymore, Jesus is like, that's a horrible place to be. You're trying to depend upon yourself, and it's foolish. It's pathetic. You're relying upon your own self, and this is the theology that the Pharisees had. If I just follow the rules, I get to make my own way into heaven. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute, I'm the door. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. Don't follow. That's following after you. Follow after me. Open your eyes and see that I'm obviously a better choice. But they just wouldn't do it. Why? Because they're self-reliant. It's so foolish. It's pathetic. I wrote this down. Following rules doesn't save people. Jesus does. You can't follow the rules enough to get you into heaven. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. You've got your issues. And if you don't think you've got an issue, that's your issue. The issue is you. That's not even in my notes. That's just good preaching right there. I don't care who you are. So look at this. Once again, Jesus has explained who he is. He's given him a new word, a new way to think about things. Right after healing a blind man, he's showing them that they're blind. They just don't see it. I'm an obvious better choice. They still don't get it. So look at verse 24. Then the Jews who were gathered together around him, they said this, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, then just tell us. Tell us plainly. Jesus said, I did tell you, but you don't believe. The works that I just did, I healed a blind guy. I talked about how blind you are, but you don't see it. Why? He says, because you are not my sheep. No, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Thank God that he does. He says, and they shall never perish. There's a wonderful promise from the good shepherd to every single person that has called upon the name of the Lord. Never going to perish. Death is not the end for us. Why? Because I know the good shepherd. And he says, I give them eternal life. He says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Once and for all, Jesus says, me and the Father, we're one and the same. And then look, they were still divided. I wonder what he means by that. What do you think that means? What do you think he's trying to say? I think he said it really, really plain. He chose his words very carefully. He wants me to follow after him. He's a good shepherd. So what does this mean to me? Because Jesus is a good shepherd, how does that apply to my life? I want to give you three things that I think will help you, that will encourage you, that should bless you about the good shepherd. Number one, because he's the good shepherd, then I am known. I'm known. He knows me. He says, I know my sheep and they follow me. He knows your name. I love that Jesus at the very beginning did what good shepherds do. And if you know anything about Middle Eastern shepherds, they would give certain sheep nicknames. That's how they start telling them apart. And the sheep over time would know their own name. And so Jesus comes in. He begins to name, well, you're going to be called Peter, which means rocky. And you're going to be called the Sons of Thunder. And he starts giving them these little names. And Judas, you're going to be called Liar and a Thief. That's a horrible nickname. It'll come into play later. Foreshadowing. Spoiler alert. No, he starts giving them nicknames because that's what good shepherds do. And they know his voice. They start following after him. This is important to me because it shows that he knows me. He knows me. I read a story this past week about what happened during World War I. There was a widow woman that just had one son, and she had 25 sheep left to her name. It's all that she had to live on. And soldiers came in, and of course, as many would do during times of war, they just took all of her sheep, and they're trying to feed the military, and they move on. Well, she decides that, you know, this is a death sentence for me. So she takes her and her son, and she goes and pleads with the commander. She says, you don't understand this. I can't just give you my sheep. That's my livelihood. That's all I've got. He says, lady, I'm sorry. I can't help you. This is what happens in war. It's a problem, but you're just going to have to deal with it. She said, I can't deal with it. You're killing me. I don't have anything else to live on. He said, well, how many sheep do you have? She said, I've got 25. He said, well, there's no way to tell which ones are yours now. We've mixed them all together. There's thousands of sheep in the sheep pen. She said, oh, no, wait a minute. My sheep know my voice. I know them. And they know my son, and my son plays on his flute, and they follow him. He's like, lady, there's no way. You're just trying to rip me off. She said, no, watch. And she says, play. Her son begins to play on his flute, and 25 heads raise up and start walking towards the sound of this flute. They know the song of the shepherd because they've spent time with him. When's the last time you spent time with the shepherd? Do you know his voice? Can you hear him? Jesus says, Peter, the enemy's looking to sift you as wheat. Rocky, he's coming to get you. But I've prayed for you, Peter. I'm praying for you. I'm calling to you. I'm calling out to God on your behalf. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I've prayed for you, Peter. You're not going to fall away. The wolves are looking to take you. But I'm praying for you. Come back to me. I'm thanking God today that I'm known by the Good Shepherd. He knows me. In spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my issues, he still loves me. In Genesis 16, I don't have time to read the story, but Hagar was a mistress of Abraham, and over the course of time, she had gotten pregnant and had a son, and of course, this caused major problems between the lady of the house, whose name was Sarah, and they kicked her out. So she grabs her water, grabs a little bit of food, and grabs up her baby, walks out in the desert. She's walking for several days until she can't walk anymore. The water has run out. The food has run out. And she sets the baby underneath a tree in the shade to die. And she goes a little bit farther past him because she can't stand to hear the cries of a dying child. And in that moment, she begins to call out to God, like, where are you at? Where are you at? Do you see me? Do you know me? Can you feel my pain? And God begins to show up and begins to speak to her and says, this is not the end. I'm going to take care of you. I know you. I see you. And in Genesis 16 and verse 3, she gives this name back to the Lord. It's the first time that God has been named in Scripture by someone else. And she gives this name to the Lord who spoke to her. And she says, you are the God who sees me. And now I've seen the God that sees me. He recognized me. He knows me. He sees me. That's a big deal to those that have asked Christ to come into their heart, that God knows you by name. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. He knows you. He knows your children. He knows your faults, your failures, your weaknesses, your wins, your losses. He knows me. He knows you. Here's the second thing to understand about the Good Shepherd. Because he is that Good Shepherd, that I am protected. That means that I can rest at night. That means I can sleep and deeply sleep because I'm protected. My children are protected. My family, my business, my friend, we're protected. Why? Because we know the Good Shepherd. I'm protected. Somebody say, I'm protected. I'm protected. You can rest. Breathe. I'm protected. You know, here's the thing. Jesus talked about the wolves that come and try to scatter the sheep. The wolves are going to come, by the way, whether you know the Good Shepherd or not. They're going to come. Life gets hard. The enemy attacks, whether you know him as your shepherd or not. Who's protecting you? And are they a good shepherd? Or are they the good shepherd? We put our trust and our faith in a lot of things, starting with our money, relationships. But can they really protect? No. I've learned this about money. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. You can't put your trust in it. It's a mirage. Be careful. It's better, Jesus says, to store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't get to it. The attacker can't get to it. You put it over there. How do I do that? By investing in the lives of other sheep, by helping, by being a blessing with what God has blessed me with. That's the reason why He's blessed me. That's the reason why He protects me. He's my protector. I matter to Him. He's not going to run away when the wolves come. Thank you, Jesus. You're a good shepherd. Here's the last one. I want to close with this. Because He's the good shepherd, and I am provided for. My God shall supply all of my needs. All of them. Not my money. Not my brain. Not my best day. Can I be the good shepherd? I'm provided for. There's a reason why in Psalm 23, the most famous chapter in the Bible, David, the good shepherd that Jesus is a type and shadow of in the New Testament, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." I've got a lot of wants, but Jesus knows what I need. You know what you want today. You have lots of wants. He knows what I need. So Jesus, right before He goes to the cross, Matthew captures it in chapter 26. It says, "Then Jesus told him, 'This very night, you're going to fall away on account of me, or we're going to get attacked. The wolves are coming.' He says, 'For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" See, this was the enemy's plan. Instead of trying to pick off the sheep one at a time, he says, "I'm going to kill the shepherd, and then I'll have them all." He didn't realize that this is exactly what Jesus had planned to do all along. See, we use terms in Christianese like the sacrificial lamb. In the Old Testament, they would release a lamb for the sins of all. But in the New Testament shepherd shows us a wonderful picture of His sacrifice for us. You see, when the wolf would attack a sheepfold, the shepherd would throw out one sheep hoping to appease the wolves so that he could get the rest of them moving. He might throw away one that was sick or one that was old or one that was young that couldn't defend themselves, hoping that they would just take that one and leave the rest alone. He would buy them some time to move the rest of the sheep. We call that the sacrificial lamb. Here's the great news about the good shepherd. He doesn't throw out the weak, and He doesn't throw out the old. He doesn't throw out the young. He doesn't throw out the sick. He threw out Himself. Himself. That's the sacrificial lamb. Enemy thought he was smart, saying, "I'm going to strike the sheep and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus says, "Bring it. Take me. Take me." That's a good shepherd. That's a shepherd worth following. Here's my question to you today. Who are you following? Because like the people of the day, there's an obvious, crystal clear, better choice. If you will wipe the smudge from your eyes, the filters of yesterday, and see Jesus, He's saying, "I'm the better choice. Because I will lay down my life for you. I've proven it. I'm worth following." That's the question. Are you following Him? Do you know His voice? The good news is today, He's calling out again. And for those that have walked away from Him, or those that have never been His, the call is the same. He's saying, "Come home. Come back to me. You've wandered off. Come back. You're not safe out there, and you know you're not. You followed after your own desires. It's time to come home." Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, "Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him and he knows it and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me, heal me, change me, and give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message, if that's okay, highridgelv.com/contact, and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.